On this Sunday, as we light the candle of peace, I think it's fitting for us all to take a moment to assess and kind of be honest with ourselves and with God about how peaceful we may or may not feel about getting ready for Christmas. I'm not sure how things are going in your house or where your just life is at, but often when we get to this point in December, this is probably one of the weeks where it is the hardest to remain peaceful, because in our lives, there is the dream and the picture and the hopes we have for what Christmas will be, and then there's what happens in real life. So for us all to have a chance to kind of get a little bit of a time to reflect and kind of get some perspective on getting ready for Christmas, I brought along this little video for us to think about where we're at with peace and the Christmases that we long for versus maybe the Christmas we seem to be getting. So let's take a look.
There's the Christmas we hope for and the Christmas we get. The one with all the glitter and the one with all the grit. One is marked by perfect decorations. The other is marked by unmet expectations. We claim it's the most wonderful time of the year, but deep down inside, we know the stress is drawing near. Fighting traffic on the way to the Christmas party hopping, blowing your budget on all the Christmas present shopping. Family gathered around a Christmas feast. It was quite dysfunctional, to say the least. If you look back at the stress of the first nativity, you may realize you're actually in good company. While traveling pregnant with a growing belly, Mary rode a donkey that was quite smelly. They arrived in Bethlehem but had no place to stay. The only open spot was a barn with some hay. The act of giving birth by itself is extremely hard, but can you imagine delivering Jesus in a dirty barnyard? Despite how nothing seemed to go as planned, still Jesus was born unto us, the Son of Man. So this Christmas, let's be reminded that no matter how bad it's been, Jesus' birth brought peace on earth and goodwill to men.
All right, so as we were watching the video, what about you? What has kind of been on your list this year for the Christmas you hope for? And how is it matched up with the Christmas you're getting? I hope for you that it's been pretty spot on, but you know what? Sometimes the best laid plans are not exactly what happens each year, nor are they necessarily even the best that we could even have for ourselves. And one of the things I loved about that little video is it reminds us that in the first Christmas, it wasn't necessarily even what Mary and Joseph had hoped for, but yet we know that they got the best Christmas ever, didn't they? In spite of all the odds and the craziness. And I think that's what brings me a moment of peace and encouragement at this halfway point in the Advent season as I get ready for my Christmas and hopefully as you get ready for yours. So since we are on that journey of getting ready for Christmas, I think it's fitting for us to dive a little bit into our Bible stories and two women who were getting ready for the first Christmas. And we meet them at a point where we are kind of in that season of preparation where Mary and Elizabeth know that the coming of baby Jesus is going to happen. Elizabeth is going to have the birth of John the Baptist. And we heard in this story these two women who are getting ready for the first Christmas. They know the babies are coming, but they haven't come yet. And I can't help but wonder, with these two pregnant women, as they meet one another, maybe what were their expectations for the first Christmas and the birth of the Christ child, Jesus. And what was going on in their lives and their hopes and their realities and the messiness of all of that? And how can it bring us peace this day? So let's dive into that Bible story. We heard just recently a little bit from Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 45. And it assumes that we know who both Mary and Elizabeth are. And maybe you know everything about them, or maybe you need to brush up. But either way, let me bring just a couple of pieces into who these women were. First, we have Mary, right? She's one of the stars of the Christmas story, the mother of Jesus. And in the verses right before this story, the angel Gabriel appears to her and, of course, right tells her this story that we know, that she's going to have a child and name him Jesus. And that the angel actually tells her in verse 36 later on, it says, look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman who was labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant, and nothing is impossible for God. So in Mary's story, we have this young woman. She was probably about 14 years old. She was engaged to Joseph, not married. She conceives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she lives in a little town in northern Israel called Nazareth. But the angel tells her this good, unbelievable news that she would be the mother of the Savior of the world. And not only that, that her cousin Elizabeth was going to have a special child as well. Now, her cousin Elizabeth didn't live in Nazareth. She lived in southern Israel, much closer to Jerusalem, in a small town known as Ein Kerem. Her husband, Zechariah, who we met on the first weekend of Advent, was a priest who served in the temple system and was told that they would have a special baby as well. Zechariah and Elizabeth embody more of the Old Testament couples like Sarah and Abraham, the old faithful couples who are able to have a child when life seems to have passed them by. And that's why the angel says, nothing is impossible for God. And when Mary hears that her very own cousin Elizabeth is pregnant too, we learn that Mary decides to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. Now, for those nowadays, we think, you know, driving 70 miles to go visit your family member is not a big deal. But in Mary's day, traveling 70 miles would have been quite a trip. Because she's coming from northern Israel, going down to southern Israel. And not only does it require days' journey on foot in a caravan, but it also would have been across mountain ranges and deserts and a rather perilous journey. But you know, Mary chooses to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. And we don't know exactly why, other than the angel tips her off that Elizabeth is going to have a child. But you get a sense from Mary's story that she probably went to go visit Elizabeth because she knew that Elizabeth would understand and that Elizabeth could be a source of encouragement and strength, because although this birth and this coming pregnancy for Mary was exciting, it was also really scary. She was not married yet, and in those days, having a child before you were married was considered something that could be a stonable offense. It's written in the law of Deuteronomy, chapter 22. She also, of course, I can only imagine would be scared, because giving birth when you're young or old is scary. It is hard. And she knows that with the angel telling her that her cousin would have a child, that there would be someone who might be able to care for her and celebrate and hold her in her time of preparation. So Mary goes. She takes a 9-day journey to go visit her cousin. And when she shows up at Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth, as it said in the translation, blurts out, God has blessed you among all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have the honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises made to her. Now, of course, we know the story, right? We were already part of Luke's telling of the angel appearing to Mary. But for Elizabeth to say these words when Mary just shows up, you know, unannounced at her house is really quite extraordinary, isn't it? Because Mary hadn't told her a single thing. But Luke tips us off and says that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, for those Old Testament communities, the only time that that phrase, filled with the Holy Spirit, was used in reference to prophets. So Luke is telling us that Elizabeth has this gift of prophecy and knowledge in this moment to receive Mary, not with suspicion, not with any kind of anger or disdain, but with joy. And of course, I can only imagine that Mary being received that way brought her a peace that was beyond all understanding. You know, that kind of steadiness that she needed in a time of great anxiety in her life. And I think it's fitting that her cousin says to her in that time of need that Mary is blessed, and that not only does she say Mary is blessed once, but she says it three times. You are blessed. Your child is blessed. And blessed are you who believe that the Lord would make this promises fulfilled. And so this morning, I want to take time to think about what does that mean? What does it mean for us to be blessed? Especially in this Christmas season, as we reflect upon the Christmases we long for, or the Christmases that we think that we are getting, and how do we manage our expectations, and how do we find peace, and all this stuff mixed and matched into each other. Well, I think a little bit of the tipping into understanding blessing, especially in the Gospel of Luke, comes a little later on by words of Jesus when he's an adult. So, in chapter 6 of the Gospel according to Luke, we of course have these famous words about what it means to be blessed. Blessed are you who are poor, because God's kingdom is yours. Blessed are you who hunger now, because you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, because you will laugh. We get a feeling again and again from the Bible that when we are blessed, especially blessed by God, it is not necessarily something to live an easy, carefree, stress-free life, but that God blesses us with a sense of strength and commitment and passion and power to make it through all things. You know, William Barclay says this about the paradox of being blessed, especially being blessed by God. He wrote, "The piercing truth is that God does not choose a person for ease and comfort and selfish joy, but for a taste that will take all that head and heart and hand can bring to it." This Christmas season, maybe you're experiencing the paradox of blessedness, where God doesn't necessarily bring you the thing that you thought you wanted for Christmas, but is working in your life to break through and give you that sense of strength and peace and reassurance, hope, love, joy, all these pieces that we talk about all the time, to make it through even the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Maybe God is working through your life this Advent season and Christmas, not necessarily to give you the Christmas that you hoped for, but giving you a Christmas that will bless you. And so that you, like Mary or Elizabeth, can find joy in new unbelievable ways in your life, that where you say to God, "I had no idea that you could do this in my life, oh God. And this is so hard that you are doing this in my life right now, but I trust you that you are working and that you are shaping me and that you are transforming this into something good." You know, often when God shows up to bless our lives, it doesn't always feel good at first. I know that for Mary, it was terrifying. For Mary, it was life-threatening. For Mary, it was disorienting. And yet for Mary, her saying yes to her blessedness transformed not only her life, but the world. And I think each Christmas, God gives us a chance to be blessed in those kinds of ways. And you know what? Sometimes they come at a point in our life where we feel like we are weeping, or where we are just poor in spirit, like some of the other the pieces that Jesus said, where we were hungering, where we're weeping, where we just feel like everything is lost. But they come and they transform that weeping into laughter. They transform that weeping into joy, because we are able to look at life and say, you know what? The worst thing is not the last thing. That joy comes with the morning. And we have someone like Mary had Elizabeth to celebrate it with. I can imagine that Mary, in that beginning as she got ready for Christmas and was terrified, laughed when Elizabeth met her and received her with joy. And that together, as they got ready for the birth of both of their babies, that they were able to find some joy and laughter in their companionship for one another. And so I ask you, who is it in your life that you can come and share the blessings of God with? Someone who can receive the paradoxes that might be happening in your life and look at them and let you receive them with joy and celebrate with you. Who is it? Who is your Mary? Who is your Elizabeth that is in your life? And you know, when those are the blessings that God is coming into your life, like I said, they can be scary, they can be disorienting, but they can be the things that if you have the strength and the courage to hold on to, will change the world. And I believe will cause you to erupt into song. You know, Mary, after Elizabeth received her with blessing, after Elizabeth reached out into her life and said, God, Mary, you are so blessed. God has blessed you so much. Mary speaks and says these famous words: with all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored, because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next, who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and the proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to aid his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever. This Christmas, even though it may not be the Christmas you hope for, I pray that God blesses you so that you may get the Christmas that will transform your life and fill you with a peace that passes all understanding. Thanks be to God. Amen.